Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry. We're on episode 770, and we're recording it on Thursday, February 19th, 2026. Helping me, as usual, talk about the technology space and the ministry space and where those two kind of cross paths, that's Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you this morning. This is the faux spring blizzard capital of Minnesota that I'm coming to you from. So we had almost a full week of 50 degree weather, full melt. I mean, mud everywhere, but we were ready for spring. I think people actually said tulips were popping up and everything. And yesterday we had a blizzard. No joke. So full coverage. That's my world is white again. So
we do have seasons here in the Midwest. So that's just further proof. Yeah.
Crazy.
Fortunately, we're not going to get all that down here. So just a little bit of rain and such. So
yeah, they told us the same thing. Good luck with
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Rain was in the forecast and it turned into a blizzard.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, don't put your snowblower away too soon.
No.
Just another lesson. All right, let's get on with our show, 770. That's kind of a milestone. We're creeping up on 800. We're thankful that God has given us a grace for all these years, and that's kind of nice. One thing that we try and do on this show from time to time is find tools that can be mapped nicely to ministry purposes or other purposes that are ministry related, and that's what we've got on the table today. We have talked about a tool called Trello many times on the show. And both of us use it each and every day in our day jobs. And I even use it at our church for a lot of different purposes. For those people who don't know what Trello is, it's a product made by Atlassian. It's been around for quite some time. I don't remember when it started. But basically, it is an organizational tool. And it follows the model of a corkboard or a whiteboard or a board where you can put columns or lists of little cards, and it helps you. And those cards can contain all kinds of things. And we're going to talk about some of its stellar features today a little bit in the context of maybe creating a strategic plan. But Trello can be used for a lot of different things. Project management. Debbie and I used it or are using it for our epic 40th anniversary camper trip this summer. So we're putting all of our camping stuff on there. And it's just a nice little tool that's very, very flexible. And it's that flexibility that I think was the attraction when we at the Synod office here were looking for a way to both document and keep track of our synodical strategic plan or long-range plan. We call it Christ Through Us. We'll put a link to the Christ Through Us website because you can kind of read what the contents are of the strategic plan. But anybody who works with a strategic plan knows that the strategic plan creation, or at least the documentation, that's just the start. How do you manage to that plan is really the important part. And so we came across a lot of different tools in our search for, how do we make this a living, breathing thing rather than just like a PDF document? And it came to light that really Trello could do the job. And so I thought we'd spend a little bit of time on the show talking about how we did that, and then maybe some applications about if your congregation has a strategic plan or has project management needs, how Trello might be a good solution for that. So that's what we're talking about today, Sally.
Yeah, I just want to interject as you're describing Trello. One thing that I think is kind of in its powerhouse is the visual nature of it. So documents and layers of email conversations and all those kind of things, they just get kind of old and deep, and you just don't necessarily want to interact and find things in them. But this is a tool that puts everything right there in front of you. It's pretty, it's color coded. You can move things from column to column. It makes it a lot more engaging and visual, I think, is just a really powerful component of it. So
Yeah, I think it speaks to the way a lot of people like to work, and it's got that flexibility and sophistication, but also simplicity. So it's kind of a unique tool. You can kind of use it in a lot of different ways. So those of you that are watching at home, I'm sharing with you how we mapped our strategic plan to a Trello board. And basically, as I mentioned, Trello boards are essentially collections of content. And so we have a strategic plan board. And on that board, we have a number of lists. And one list that is always kind of helpful in any board that you create is kind of that basics list, where all the things are, help you organize and why the board exists and, what's it about and links to different things. If you've got a document repository someplace, as Trello isn't necessarily that kind of tool, you put a link to it there, all the things. So you kind of have a list just for those kinds of things. And then for our strategic plan, the way our strategic plan is structured, we have four priorities in our strategic plan. If you go to christthroughus.net, you'll see those four priorities. One is culture, and this is the synod's plan, of course. One is congregations, one is commission, and one is calling. And what Trello allows you to do is obviously you can create a list for each or a series of lists for each. And what we did for our strategic plan is use the tools that Trello provides for giving colors to lists. So you've got the visual collection, so you can at a glance see, show me all the things that are in the culture category. So we've got five different lists related to culture, and each of those lists represents an objective. And then in that objective are goals that you would have for achieving that objective. So it's clear just by glancing at it and scrolling horizontally across the entire board, what the categories are and how they relate to one another. And all you have to do if you're interested in looking at what a particular objective or goal has in it, you just click on the card. And the card then would open up and you kind of see what I would say is inside the card or the back of the card. So think of it as an index card with the kind of the basics on the front, but then the inside of the card or the back of the card has all kinds of things potentially in it, including labels, who's responsible. You can put checklists in, you can add custom fields. There are capabilities for adding attachments, and then also comments or a list of activities that have happened to the card. And that's kind of how we're using it to keep up to date on how this particular objective or goal is progressing so that somebody can come to the card and see the latest and greatest if somebody has updated it. So that's kind of it from a high level, how we've mapped it. And as you mentioned, Sally, it's super flexible. So we can move cards around. If cards get done, they can be completed. They can be moved to a done list. They can be archived. You can add new cards. And one of the neat things about a strategic plan is you've got a number of people involved. One thing you want is some consistency when they're creating their objectives and goals. So what Trello allows you to do is to create templates. So when somebody wants to create an objective or a goal, they can click on a template and then they've got a start of all the things that you'd want in that kind of card. So there is a kind of a guided way to get somebody into the creation of these kinds of things, and there's not confusion about, what all goes into a goal and how do we rate it and those kinds of things. And super helpful in that way. It can even have built-in or standard checklists that go along with these. So kind of all that you need, at least at a high level, to get the plan operational, let's say.
So, bringing this to like a church's perspective, would this be something that would fit a VTO maybe in the goals and things that you would have on your vision traction organizer?
Yeah, and we used that at the synod level too, and that was one of the kind of the requirements and maybe one of the stickier things about using other tools that weren't as flexible. Because in a VTO where you have this vision traction organizer model, you have things called rocks, and you're looking at 3 month periods of work and level 10 meetings, and those can all be templatized and kind of crafted in such a way that Trello can handle that because it is a flexible way to do that. So for instance, in this board, in the strategic planning board, there are two related boards. One has all the related KPIs, the key performance indicators, that are really the criteria for if an objective has been achieved. And then you can link those to the card. So they're, even though they're on separate boards and track different ways, they in different spaces, they can always be linked together. So you can go back and forth pretty in a friction-free way. So that's real easy to understand what goes with what. And then with VTO or the EOS framework, you have things called IDS or issues. That you want to track. And with every strategic plan, there's going to be issues that need to both be identified and then worked. So the IDS stands for identify, discuss, solve. So each of those have a card as well. So they can be attached to other cards or objectives so that you can see, hey, we're working the issue. There's a problem here, or there's an opportunity here. All those can be in their own little self-contained cards, but still bubble up to the main objective, so you don't lose track of it. So, one thing that is really important in strategic planning is that the organization has a discipline that says all the things that we do need to feed into the strategic plan, or it should be discussed why we're doing them at all. So it's important to kind of make sure everything's kind of connected. And that's what this model does. It's a great question, though. There
That's
are
awesome.
a lot of different ways to do it.
Sure. Seems like it would take some Trello knowledge to set all that up.
Yeah, and it's not hard. And there's lots of tutorials, and AI is super helpful as well. I think the big things, with Trello are probably just the workings of how, all the things that you can put on a card, and then just making sure that everybody understands this is how we do it. So process is going to be, an important part of this. This is when we use a checklist, and this is when we create a new list or when we create a new board, those kinds of things. So I think there's all kinds of different ways. And with custom fields, you can create, things like priority level or budget status or percent complete. Whatever you kind of need to keep track of things, you can add like as a custom field or as a colored label even. We use a lot of labels in our work. So is it in progress? Is it blocked? Is it in trouble? Is it in planning? However your team or your organization likes to treat these things, Trello can support that.
Seems like the work is envisioning it more than carrying it out.
Right. Certainly. Couple things to remember before we jump to the rest of the show with Trello. Trello is a very inex or can be a very inexpensive tool, and I think even out of the box, it's not that expensive. But if you are a nonprofit, which most of our listeners are, You can get basically a 75% discount. So if you're looking at the premium plan, which I think is more than enough, there's an enterprise level plan, but I think premium is good enough for almost everybody, which gives you custom fields and all the what they call power-ups, automations, those kinds of things. 75% off the regular price basically brings it down to $30 per user per year. So that's a pretty inexpensive approach. One thing that we're doing at our church, my church council, is really only a part of one board. And if a person is only a part of one board, you don't even have to pay the $30. Just the administrator would. And then away you go. Now, if you create more boards, then you're going to need to do that. But in our case, a church council member really only cares about the church council board. And so they are basically free. But if you wanted to involve more people, let's say you've got your ministry staff or your school faculty or whatever, and you wanted to create multiple boards for different purposes, which is probably the way you should do it, it's going to be $30 per person per year. So if you do the math, it's not a lot of money for what you get. I think this is one of the best values in software as a service land out there in project management tools. So super powerful.
So we'll throw this link in the show notes to where to go to apply for that, and what the criteria is and everything.
Yep. One caution, and I think you can be tempted to use Trello for everything. You upload all your documents, and it's kind of the command central. I would advise not to do that because one thing that I don't think Trello does very good is document management. You can put documents in as attachments to any card, and you can have as many as you want, and they stay there and they're fine. But you can't edit them in place. You have to download, edit, then re-upload. You can't really search them or sort them. They're really attached to a card. So I would say if you're a Google Workspace organization, that's still going to be the best place for your documents. And then put links to those documents in the cards rather than maybe uploading them into a card. That way, you maintain the ability for a version control and the ability for multiple people to be in a document at once, one source of the truth. And I think that's just going to be a better best practice than trying to make Trello into something that it's not. It's really not a document management solution at this point. So, just a little tip if you're going to use it that way. We probably, Sally, I don't know if these boards are even around. I shouldn't maybe even bring it up, but long ago, we set up some Trello boards, some public Trello boards for people to look at if they were interested in kind of understanding how this might work in for project management. I think we set one up for maybe a sample VBS project and a few other things. Maybe we can put links to those up there if they're still around. But
I'm looking at it. It's still here. So, yes,
okay.
we can do that.
Very good. So that's our Trello story. And please pray for our Synod strategic plan and our use of the tools to make that happen. But hopefully you'll consider using a tool like this or have a strategic plan that you can plug in here. I think that's critical these days. And there are lots of different ways and to keep it up to date. But we found that Trello is a good one.
Excellent.
All right, I'll get off my Trello soapbox and let's move on to our ministry resource segment of the show, Sally.
Awesome. Now we're going to talk about food, which is a really
Oh,
great
nice.
soapbox to be on.
Okay.
No, it's not all about food, but our friends in the missions office, both home and world missions, combine efforts each summer to present Taste of Missions. And we're up to 2026. I want to say, Martin, you and I were both at the first one of these in 2019-ish. And so they've got a lot of experience under their belt, and they bring it to us each summer. It's something to look forward to. This year it will be on June 13th, and it is happening in the same location as always at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, which is just a wonderful opportunity to be on the seminary campus. And they call it Taste of Missions, but not just because of the food, although the food is a nice draw. They have a lot of different cultures represented with food trucks that are on site, live music, fellowship with the missionaries, all that kind of fun stuff. But obviously, you're getting a taste of what the mission work is like as you attend the various events planned for the day. So they have Home Mission Headlines with Pastor Mark Gabb, who's the administrator of Home Missions, and World Mission Headlines with Pastor Larry Schlomer from World Missions Office. And then they have moments with missionaries and Q&A with missionaries where you can get to know them a little bit and understand more of what their day-to-day life is and the blessings and challenges of being in a mission setting. It lasts from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I believe the cost is $15 to attend in person, but a lot of the events are live streamed. So if you aren't able to be at the seminary on June 13th, you can watch the events unfold from the comfort of your own personal screen, wherever that may be. We also wanted to bring attention to some of the activities they have available. So always they're sharing recipes. They have events out here for families, but there are also school challenges and a poster contest. So the school challenge and poster contest both have the same deadline, April 24th. So, a bit of time for you to get this in. The school challenges for K4 through K to 4 and 5th through 8th grades. So, they have actually 10 different events, challenges that you can participate in. You can do just one or all 10. And learn more about the various missions and what it's like to be a missionary kid, all kinds of fun things. And for one randomly selected school in each of those categories, K through 4 and 5 through 8, they'll earn a mission-inspired lunch, a live Zoom call with a missionary, Taste of Missions t-shirts for students and teachers, classroom decorations, free tickets to the Taste of Mission event, and more surprises. So there's just a Taste of Missions party awaiting two classroom that qualifies. So definitely teachers, check this out and get your kids involved in the mission activity of Wells. And at the high school level, they actually have an art contest. So they call it a poster contest. They want students to submit an 11 by 17 masterpiece capturing the heart of either home or world missions. Again, that same submission date, April 24th. They have very specific rules, so check it out. The w two overall winners here, one for home missions, one for world missions, will each get a $250 Amazon gift card. And the artwork will be supplied and represented at the event. So people will get to enjoy the art. There's even a fan favorite vote that happens at the Taste of Missions event where the fan favorite will win a prize as well. So showing on the screen some of the artwork that won last year's event and the descriptions that went along with those. So yeah, teachers, art teachers at the high school level, and all the LES classrooms have opportunities to get involved. And you don't have to be at a Wells High School or ELS High School to participate. If you're a Wells or ELS member at that high school level, you can submit your artwork. So definitely check it out.
Nice. Yeah, and we'll put a link in the show notes, but that's tasteofmissions.com if you're interested. So,
Yeah,
time well spent if you're in the area.
definitely.
All right, Sally, I think we can move on to our picks of the week. What's up for you?
Well, it's a rare occasion when I have a hardware pick, unlike my
Yes.
co-host who often dabbles in all kinds of tech gadgets. But I, after almost 7 years, have a new iPhone to share today. It's an iPhone Air. It doesn't have the number 17 with it, although it came out in the 17 rendition of iPhones, but it's called an iPhone Air. And mainly because I don't know if the camera will even pick it up very well, it is super thin. It is their thinnest iPhone ever. And that is really appealing when you have to chunk this around with you all the time and everything. It has a titanium case, so it's very lightweight, very slick. However, I will say, It's not as thin on this half as the other. I don't know if you can see that, but the back has a pretty large camera area. And actually, it's probably the guts of the whole phone right up here at the top. So it even makes it maybe a little bit top heavy because of that. But it is a very thin phone and it's very slick. And I'll testify to that because I sat it down on the pew on Sunday and it slid right
Slid
off.
right off,
It's
yeah.
so thin and slick, and I didn't have my case yet. I was really almost intimidated. It feels like glass and very lightweight in your hand. My case arrived yesterday, so now it's officially a Llama
Oh, look at
iPhone.
that.
So,
Nice.
and this has more of a texture to it. It's not so glassy feeling now, but I really like it. It comes probably with the biggest thing in this version of the iPhone, the 17 version, is that they're really promoting the camera. The camera actually jumped up to 48 megapixels, if you can imagine that. My last one was 12 megapixels, and I thought I was in heaven when I got that camera, and now up to 48. They call it the cam era. You know, everything is an era these days. I think thanks to Taylor Swift's Eras concert. But anyway, the cam era, and one of the cool things that they've done is kind of a follow me type thing with the front facing camera. So if you're posing for a selfie and a couple of other people jump in and want to be part of it, it like automatically expands the view. You don't have to move the camera or whatever. It'll even turn it to a landscape if it's a really wide selfie picture. It does all that on its own. And it's not just with the selfie, but also with your FaceTime calls. It'll kind of almost eerily detect and move around for you to keep yourself focused in the camera and everything that you're trying to capture. It has a new A19 Pro chip and improved battery life. It also says it'll charge up to 50% within 30 minutes, so a pretty fast charge, USB-C. And then iOS, I wrote down 25. I want to say it's 26 now, isn't it?
26, yep.
Yeah, I don't know why I typed 25, but anyway, of all of that improvements with iOS 26, and there are a lot. One of my favorite things is that the front screen can be a rotating picture. So my front lock screen has always been set on one particular picture, and I think, I don't know, maybe it's been sooner than this and I just didn't realize it, but I really like having a lock screen that rotates and has different pictures when I bring it up. So that's pretty cool. I will say the buttons are a little bit different. On my old phone, this was a toggle switch, which would allow me to silence it. And now it's a button that you can basically choose what function you want to associate with it. So I still have it on silence because that's what I'm used to, but it's a button and it's toggle, you know, it can rotate to other functionalities if you prefer. There's also a button on the lower right side that actually brings up the camera immediately without having to unlock or whatever, maybe super easy and quick. And then you can use it to take a picture. So you don't have to reach your hand around and hit the button on the front of the camera. You can actually take a picture with this side button. So I think that's a pretty big improvement as well. Just knowing how you have to manage it to get your thumb in the right place to push that circle on the screen. Now it's a more natural feel to do it on the side. So that's some of my early impressions. I'm excited to have it. The price was quite a bit different than the last one I bought 7 years ago. And that's probably what prompted me to go with the iPhone Air over the 17 Pro Max. Saved a few hundred dollars there. They will give you a trade-in amount on your existing phone if you want to send them your existing phone.
Yeah, surprisingly, not too bad at a trade-in dollar. Debbie just did hers, and it was an older phone, kind of like yours. And I was surprised at how much they would trade in for.
Yeah, mine was $140. Cool. And
Yeah.
it's not even listed on the list. Like, if you have a 13 or higher, you'll get this much money. And they took my 11. I had a Pro Max 11, and it was $140. So
Okay,
that
it's
brings
not
the price
nothing.
down some.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm
Very
happy with it.
nice.
I'm excited to have a new phone.
How is you've only had it for less than a week, probably? How's the battery life with things that thin? Something has to give. Have you noticed any difference?
Oh, it's definitely better than my other phone, which
Okay,
after
everything's
all these years.
relative.
Yeah, and yeah, I haven't had any problems with battery life and I've used it a good bit. And
Okay.
I guess the pain point is just switching phones. My icons aren't in the same place and my brain is totally, geared toward where my thumb should go for certain
You'll get
things.
it
And
there.
yeah.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
just kind of that, what is this foreign object in my hand? It feels different and everything.
So did you have Face ID on your old phone?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's not new. Okay,
No,
gotcha. Okay.
that's been there.
Good deal. Well, my pick is very timely then for you because my pick is an iOS app that comes with iOS 26, and that's the Preview app. The iOS Preview app is kind of a takeoff of the, if you use a Mac, there's a very nice app on the Mac called Preview, and they've kind of done a lot of the same things with the iOS app. The Preview app is predominantly for viewing PDFs and images. So a lot of the things that you get on your phone as attachments or you want to work with on your phone, this will work with. But one of the best use cases I've found for it is document scanning. So you can, because I get a lot of paper documents still, and whether they be bills or receipts or whatever. And this, you just open up the Preview app, you click the button, or actually, you just, I think you click the Scan Documents button, which is big and bold right in the center of the screen. And it automatically senses the document or documents, and it will keep taking pictures as long as it keeps seeing documents and add them to one big PDF, which is really cool. You don't have to do much of anything other than keep it pointing, and then when you're done, you hit the button, and then you can send it wherever you want. It'll store it, but you can also send it to, let's say, Google Drive or OneDrive or iCloud or wherever it is. You can rename it. You can mark it up. It will also form fill. So if you've got a PDF with fields that you need to fill, and you can do that. One of the neatest things about Preview on the Mac, and I think this also works on iOS, is it can automatically insert your signature. So if there's a document you need to sign, it will, there's a function for that. You can password protect documents. So that's kind of nice if you've got things that you want to protect. You can password protect it right in the Preview app. Some of these things used to be in the Files app, but I never really liked the Files app. I don't think it works super well. So they carved that out. They put it in a nice Preview app. So if you've got iOS 26, which is the latest and greatest, I don't know how far 26 goes down. It's like, Sal, your old phone probably didn't support iOS 26.
It did, but it was kind of choking. That's kind of what
Okay.
prompted me to switch.
So if you've upgraded to iOS 26, this would be an app that I would put on your home screen because there's a lot of usefulness in the Preview app. This is one of the better apps that comes with the phone, I think. So that's my pick.
That's awesome. One thing you didn't mention that I saw on the list was it'll remove backgrounds from images,
That's
which I
right. It'll
really
do
like
that.
that. That's kind of quite different from all the PDF and signatures and stuff, but image tweaking as well.
Yeah,
Nice.
preview for iOS is awesome.
That's
All right, let's
great.
move on to community news and feedback.
Yeah, and this just as a blog post mention from our friend Ryan Kirchhoff, he was on our show last time we talked together and told us a bit about AI and education. He's offering a class called AI impact or something to that effect. And he wrote a blog post about that. And he titled it A Different Question About AI and Why It Matters. And basically, if you read through the post, he says many people are talking about how much more efficient teachers can be with all the different tools that are out there, Magic School, and we've talked about them, all the things ChatGPT can do for you, building rubrics, all kinds of stuff. It will save you time. You're going to be more efficient. And that's a great thing. And Ryan doesn't discount that at all, but he also wants us to realize that what we should be looking at is the impact on students. Our efficiency is great, but How is it helping the students learn better? And that's more about, that's where you should get to as you're evaluating whether AI is a good or bad thing, or you're using it correctly, or it's the right thing for the problem at hand or the goal at hand. Student learning should be at the center of everything. And he mentions that we talked about it on the podcast. He has this course, AI for Impact, where you can get it for $99 for your entire school. And he links to the podcast and talks about how we asked him about looking in his crystal ball,
Yay, thank you, Ryan.
predicting what education will look like from 5 years from now. And he felt like he said it pretty succinctly there. So if you haven't listened to our last show and Ryan's interview, encourage you to do that and read this companion blog post as well.
Very nice. Speaking of Ryan, Ryan, as you maybe heard on the interview, if you listen to it, serves on the Wells AI Task Force. And that's going to be the topic of our next show, Sally. We're going to talk a little bit about
Awesome.
their work. At least recently, we've been working on an ethical framework and a stewardship and risk matrix document. So I'm excited to share some of the results from their work. Our work. It's a team of about eight people working on this. And so I thought, well, let's dedicate a show to their work. And thanks to Ryan and people like him on the task force, we've got some things to share and welcome some feedback on that stuff too. So stay tuned next time for all of that.
Looking forward to it.
That's going to about do it for this week's show. 770 is in the can, and we hope that you come back for 771, Lord willing. Blessings on your work in ministry and in technology and where those two intersect. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.